Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Lamed Aleph. We're back on Daf Lamed. Let's get to work. The Rav Yudah Merab makes a halacha back on Lamed Amid Aleph, and he says that if you shecht in two or three places, so the shechita would be good shechita. So you remember yesterday, I went over a number of different explanations of what exactly that meant, two or three places. Right, I quoted Rashi, I quoted Tosfos, we quoted the Sheoltos, quoted by Tosfos, we quoted Rabbeinu Chananel. The point is, between all the various explanations, is that you did not shecht, you did not give one clean shecht, not one clean cut on the neck of the animal, but you went and a little bit here, a little bit there. Could be, according to the Sheoltos, you cut on the same plane, but a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit, you know, around. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, you cut the kana in one plane, and you then went to the vesha, you went lower. Okay, whatever the pshat is, the point is that you did not give one clean cut. So the Rav says that's fine. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says bina shchita mefu ras v'leka, that you need to have one clean cut when you shecht. Not only does Shmuel say this, but Reish Lakish says this as well. The Gemara, let's pick it up in the Gemara right from this point where the af Rabbi Shimon Malakish of bina shchita mefu ras. Even Reish Lakish agrees with that as well. We're on Lamed Amid Aleph. And we're a little bit beyond halfway down the page. How do I know the shechita has to be a clean cut? The pasuk says, again, we go back to our shooting arrow. Right, the shooting arrow is going to come up a couple times today. Right, the idea behind the shooting arrow is that when you shoot an arrow at somebody, right, the pasuk in Tehillim says that a shooting arrow is like speaking lashon hara, meaning that's how you get people. Right, we don't think that. We think that, you know, lashon hara is, you know, It's not right, but it doesn't hurt people. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, no, it hurts like an arrow. So, but okay, that's the mussar. But aside from the mussar, right, the pasuk is there to teach us in terms of hilchos shechita that when you shoot an arrow at somebody, so it makes a nice clean cut, of course, because the arrow is going at a tremendous force and it's just going to go right through. So, Meisav Rebbe Lazar, so the Gemara says, Rebbe Lazar asks the question, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We will see this Mishnah in just a couple minutes from now. The Mishnah says that if two people are holding the knife, the Shechita would be good Shechita. So, am I the Haleka Shechita Mufaras? So, the Gemara says, now, the Gemara at this point is assuming that the two people are holding two separate knives, and you're not making one clean cut, so the Gemara quickly changes our thought process. The Mishnah is talking about where it's one knife and two people holding onto the knife. The concern might have been that if two people holding the knife, so they're not going to be able to go in a nice back and forth motion, but they may just go plow right through. So that might be the concern. So the Mishnah is teaching us that that's fine. That would be okay. But it's not two knives, it's one knife. So the Mishnah goes on to say, we're not worried that you'll make an animal trace. If we're talking about two knives, I understand. That I understand. So because if two people are holding two knives and shechting an animal, so you know how it works when two people are in charge of something, nothing gets done, right? That's a general rule in life. So I might have thought that, you know, I'm cutting, but he's cutting, so he'll do the rove. And he'll think, you know, well, why should I cut? Because he's cutting, and, you know, he'll expect me to do rove, and, you know, the job will not get done, right? Basic human psychology. Right? So two people are responsible to do something. But Ela'i Amr B'sakin Achas V'shnei B'nei Adam. But if we are talking about where it's one knife, which is what we want to say in the Mishnah, it's one knife and two people holding the knife, Hayin Choshen Shema Yitrufu Zelzer, Shema Yidrusu Zelzer. It would be better for the Mishnah to punctuate by saying, you know, we're worried about Hadrasa, because two people holding the knife, they're not going to go back and forth, they're just going to go straight forward. And that's Hadrasa. And it would have been better had the Mishnah said the word Hadrasa, not the word Yitrufu. So mi baile. So amale Rabbi Abin, tani ein choshishin, shema yidrasu ze al ze. So the Gemara gives a very simple solution. Tweak the brace a little bit. Okay, fine. So you want the brace to say shema yidrasu? Fine. So that's how we'll teach the brace from this point forward. Okay. Meis of Rabbi Abin, shachat es ha veshet lamata vezakana lamala. Oh, it's the veshet lamala vezakana lamata. Shchitaso kshera. So the Gemara challenges, because again, now we have a basic debate in the Gemara. Does the cut have to be a straight linear cut going into the neck of the animal? Or can I play around a little bit? A little up top, a little bit below, a little bit on the side, right? Does it have to be, you know, can you make more than just simple one incision? So it sounds from this braisa, the braisa says if I cut the windpipe above, meaning cranial, and then I cut the vesha below, meaning more caudal, so, or if I reverse it, the shechita is a good shechita. So the Gemara says, v'ha leka shechita mufaras. So the Gemara says, okay, but according to Shmuel, according to Reish Lakish, the cut has to be a clean cut. So who most of love mufarak le b'shechita asui kekomos. So the Gemara says, well, it could be that the braisa is dealing with a clean cut. Right, how is the braisa dealing with a clean cut? Because you just simply went in at an angle. Meaning, yeah. So in other words, it could be that you started high on the neck of the animal, high meaning cranial, closer to the head, and your incision did not go straight up, but it went at an angle, and it went across. So that means that the trachea was cut high in a cranial position, the esophagus was cut lower, meaning more towards the end of the animal, more caudal, and so that's what the Mishnah is talking about, the Braisa is talking about. But it's straight, it's shechita mufaras, and that's what the Braisa is talking about. Okay, Gemara tells us a story. Story obviously that follows up this discussion. There was an ox that was shechted in two or three locations. Okay, al Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta shakel mishufrei shufrei. So Rav Yitzchak, son of Shmuel, son of Marta, went and took not just a piece of the meat, but the best piece of the meat. When you teach the Mishnah which we're going to see later on, so the way you teach the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is dealing with two knives and two people, meaning exactly what we said, exactly what we didn't want to say, but exactly what we suggested earlier, that if two knives are cutting the neck of the animal, even though it's beis or gimel makamos, it's two or three places, so the shechita is going to be a valid shechita, even though it's not shechita mefuras, even though it's not a one straight cut. Amrav Rav Yehuda Amarav. Okay. We have five psulei shechita, correct? Of the five psulei shechita, so we've discussed hadrasa, right, a number of times. That means instead of going back and forth, going straight in, we'll come back and we'll discuss more of that this morning. We discussed shehiya, not so much. Shehiya means to pause in the middle of your shechita. Okay. We'll come back to that. Hagrama, we spent a lot of time talking about. Hagrama means that there are parameters of where you can shecht within. So we talked about the cranial parameter of the trachea. We spent a Mishnah and an entire Gemara talking about that. We have not spent a lot of time talking about chalada. Chalada means where the knife is not exposed. Okay. When you shecht, if I could take my handy dandy knife. So when you shecht, so the way you want it to be is that the knife is always going to be at one point or another visible. Right, so if the neck of the animal is over here, you want to go back and forth, but you always want to see the knife. The knife has to be visible. And what the Gemara now is going to do for the next little bit is discuss a little bit of the parameters of what does that mean exactly? What does it mean the knife has to be exposed? So, let's start like this. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. Hichlid es asakin bein simen lesimen. Upasko psula. If I insert the knife into the neck of the animal, okay? With a bird, things are much more pliable, things are much more movable, and an animal less so, but still, right, we're able to make a nice incision right into the neck of the animal and insert the knife into the neck of the animal, bein simen lesimen, between simanim. So now the knife is strategically placed between the trachea and the esophagus, and I start cutting psula. That's invalid. Why? Because that's hachlada. You're machlid. You hid the knife. Tachas ha'or kshera. So the Gemara says, but if I insert the knife under the hide of the animal, meaning just the skin, the hide, the leather of the animal, so and I put the knife in there and I shech, so that's going to be kasher. So the Gemara says, my kamash malantanina, o sheichlis the second tachas hasheni upasko. Rabbi Shavav Amar Nevela, Rabbi Kiva Amar Trefa. So we have a braisa. The braisa actually talks about inserting the knife between the simanim. And that's going to be the invalidation of achlada. Now there is a debate amongst the tanayim. What becomes of the animal? The animal's a nevela, the animal's a trefa. Okay, but the point is that it's an invalid shechita if I put it in between the simanim. So the Gemara says no, because if all I had was the Mishnah, here's what I would have thought. I would have thought now normally. Let's see if I can explain this with a good graphic description. Generally speaking, when you shech, so which direction are you going? In other words, you're starting from the front of the neck and you're going towards the back, right? Towards the dorsal end of the animal, right? That's normally how you shech, right? It could be that the way we would have understood the Mishnah without the context of our discussion is that here's what I did. I took the knife, I inserted it into the neck between the two simanim, and I shecht it. Not towards the back of the neck of the animal, but I cut forward. And so what I did is I cut the trachea. Then what I did, then quickly, because we don't want shehiya, is I turned the knife, I flipped the knife around, or it could be a double-edged knife, and then I went back. It could be that that's what the Mishnah is disqualifying. Could be. Without the context of our discussion, I would have limited the psul to where you go in the wrong direction. But maybe if I tick the knife and I put it between the simanim, and I go to the back of the neck of the animal, now I still got a trachea I need to cut, so I'll take the knife out, and I'll cut the front. Maybe you might have thought that would have been okay. So what Rav Yehuda Merav is making sure that we understand is even that is the psul of chalada. Even that falls under the disqualification of chalada, and that wouldn't be good as well. The Gemara makes exactly this point. Hava amina, I might have thought hani mila melamata lamala delo kavi keder shchita ava melamala lamata. But if I go from the top to below, de kaavi keder shchita, when I'm going in the correct, in the general direction of Shechita, Eima Shapir Dami, I might have thought that would have been okay. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says that's what it's coming to teach us. Now, Tachas or Kshera. Now, we said that if you just put the knife under the hide of the neck of the animal, that's Kasher. Beirav Armi Tachas or Eina Yodea. So the Yeshiva of Rav said that if you put the knife under the hide, if you insert the knife under the hide and then you start cutting, Eina Yodea, I don't know. Which is a way of saying could be that that's invalid. E bailuhu lebei rav darmi tachas or eni yodea tachas matlis mahu. So now the Gemara wants to really test the limit of what chalada is. So we know for sure, right? Let's go over the positions we know. Taking the knife and inserting it into the neck between the two simanim, that for sure is no good. That's chalada, and it doesn't matter at that point which direction I go. Whether I go to the back or whether I go to the front. That's for sure no good. What if I just take the knife and put it under the hide, insert it under the hide? So the Yeshiva of Rava says, Eini Odea, I don't know, and that would of course mean we would be machmir. We would say it's no good. How about this, says the Gemara? How about if the knife is outside the neck, and I start outside the neck, but I take a rag, a shmata, and I cover the knife? Is that chalada? So the Gemara says, Tachas semer mesubach mahu. The Gemara doesn't give an answer. The Gemara just simply goes on to the next question, which is, what if I put it under the wool of the neck, right? Imagine shechting a sheep. So sheep's got a lot of tufts of wool in the front. So what if I shecht it, but before I'm actually cutting, the knife is buried under the wool? What would be the halacha over there? So, tachas semer mesubach mahu, teku. So the Gemara leaves this, huh? A good shave of the neck, right? Your general surgeons will shave the area before starting to cut. So, I spoke to a shoche just the other day, right? One of our summer visitors is a shoche, and he told me that for the sheep, what they do is they basically mat down the area. They don't cut, they don't shave, but they mat down the area. So basically, you're right up against the neck. Okay? So, Sa'atachat Semer Mitzubach Mahu Teku. So the Gemara said, leaves that question unresolved as well. And so, good. So, on these issues of, Rashi writes very succinctly, V'chol Teku Di Isura L'chomra. Right? When the Gemara says, I don't know, what the Gemara is basically saying is no good. Because I don't know over here means we're unsure. It's a suffix on a daraisa. And remember also, not only is it a suffix on a daraisa, but your chazaka will tell you that the animal's not shechted. You have to know with absolute certainty that the animal's shechted. So the halach is it's no good in all these scenarios. Okay. Last line of Gemara before we start the new Mishnah. By Rav Papa, Rav Papa asked the following question. What if I did chalada, but only b'miut simanim, only with a little bit of simanim? Now, what exactly does that mean? Rashi writes the following. Let's say you did like this. As we've discussed now a number of times, the teshech, the two simanim, really means you only have to shech the majority of the two simanim. Okay? The Gemara did mention earlier, back on Chav Zayin, Chav Ches, that there's a lechatchila din that you shecht all the simanim, but you don't have to shecht all, you just simply need to shecht rov. So let's say you did the following. Let's say you did shecht rov simanim. And then what happens is that you take the knife out, you then insert the knife into the neck of the animal to cut the last little bit of simanim. Okay, what would be the halacha? Now, on one hand, Rashi writes, "Mi amrin and ha'ishtachit shapi b'rov simanim." On one hand, the argument is very simple. You cut the majority of the simanim, and you did so correctly. On the other hand, odilma kula chadash chitahi v'isba chalada uvemiut kama pshita lan de nevela vaday. Right? Or on the other hand, we look at shchita as one fluid motion. And if you shecht, even that little bit has to be shechted correctly, right? Even though you already shechted the majority of it correctly. And the Gemara's response to this as well is teiku.
If you already cut the majority of it, the shechita is finished. So which way
you Correct. It's right. The first side of the question is easier to understand, right? You did the majority, and you did the majority correctly. It's much easier to understand the first side of the question. Agreed. And then Rashi writes, and if time permitted, I would have read the Rashi. Time does not permit, so I will just simply paraphrase. Rashi writes, and in all these circumstances, we're going to be machmir. Right? Rashi writes that, even if you shech the majority of it correctly, and then you do chalada for that last little bit, that's no good. Rashi writes the same thing would be true for hagrama. Right? What we discussed earlier, going outside the parameters, where I shech the majority of it within the parameter. And for that last little bit, I went above and I went beyond the parameter. Even though it's for that miut acharon, even though it's for that last little bit, Rashi says we're going to be machmir as well. Rashi writes that if you are going to shecht all the pipes, you must do it all correctly with no psul, even for the miut basra, even for that last little bit. Rashi says that's the halacha, and he quotes the Bahag, the halacha's gedolos, he agrees as well, that is in fact the halacha. And it's also interesting, by the way, you could make a distinction between our case over here of Chalada and what Rashi quotes, the case of Hagrama, where you go above the parameter. Because over there, you could make the argument that if you shechted all of it within the parameter, if you go outside the parameter, that's just simply, right, that's not relevant. Right? You can make such a distinction. You take a look at Tosfos over here, the big Tosfos on the other side of the page, and Tosfos works with that distinction and, you know, doesn't agree with Rashi on this. But anyway, but that is in fact the halacha. Certainly the Rama holds this way, that you have to shecht all the pipes with no psul, even for that last little bit. Okay. We start with the next Mishnah. Hashochet beiz roshen ke'echad shchitaso k'sheira. Okay. Funny scenario. We talked about the scenario, right? To quote Stewart, it's a doubleheader, right? So you line up two animals side by side, and you have a nice long knife. We'll talk about the actual length of the knife in just a moment. And you go to work. And look, think about the savings in cost. I mean, you know, with one action, with one labor force, right? One shochet, you got two animals. So shchita is going to be a good shchita. Although we will point out the Mishnah's use of the language is bidi'eved, right? Shchita sokshera. It's okay. It's a shchita. Shchita is okay. But lechachila, one should not do so. I will remind you, the Gemara's discussion earlier was that this part of the Mishnah is not talking about chulin, it's talking about kachim, because in the world of chulin, it should be fine even lechatchila, but by kachim, we are hesitant to shech two animals at the same time. Ben suggested when we learned the Gemara that it has to do with kavana, that it's an issue of kavana. The Gemara says that in the world of kachim, in the world of karban, we want a one-to-one ratio, one shochet with one animal. It was based on psukim and drashos. Okay. So anyway, we move on in the Mishnah. Shnaim ochzim b'sakin v'shochten afilu echad lamala v'echad lamata shchitas okshera. Two people holding a knife. Now, two people holding two knives, two people holding one knife, So we just finished that discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara could have gone either way. You could go either way in the Mishnah, although the Gemara seems to tend to favor two people holding one knife, right? Where the Shechita would be still a good Shechita, even though you have two people holding onto the knife. The concern would be that instead of going back and forth, they're just going to go straight in, and that, of course, is Hadras, and that would be no good. Hitiz es harosh bevas achas psula. Chop the head off, the Shechita is not a good Shechita. Obviously, that is a violation, the flagrant violation of Hadrasa. What if when you shecht, meaning you're going in a back and forth motion, and you apply way too much force and you cut off the head? That's fine, because you didn't chop. You went back and forth. It happens to be that you got a little excited. You're right, but the head came off, but still, it's going to be a good shechita. Im yesh b'sakin malot savrik shera. Now, Mishnah here is talking about the size of the knife, the length of the knife. It has to be malot savar. It has to be the width of the neck. Okay, stay tuned. The Gemara later on will discuss exactly what that means in the Mishnah. Hayashochev v'hitiz beiz roshem b'vasachas im yesh b'sakin malot savar echad kshera. If you shechting, and while shechting two animals at the same time, this guy's very strong. He is able to not only shecht two animals at the same time, but he's going in with such force. It's not hadrasa. He's not chopping in. It's a back and forth, but he's so strong that he actually cuts off their heads. But that's fine, as long as the knife is long enough. And again, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to discuss exactly what that means, long enough. So that would be fine. Ba'medvar mamorim bizman shaholich v'lo hevi, o hevi v'lo holich. Now, we need a long knife, right? That's basically one of the points this Mishnah is making to us, is that you need a long knife. That's only if you're going to go in one direction, meaning molich v'lo mevi, right? I always forget which one's back and which one's forth. Right, whichever way. In other words, the point is that if you're going to go in one direction, so then you need a long knife. But if you're ready to go back and forth and back and forth, so then you don't need a long knife. Aval, im holich vehevi, if you're prepared to go in a back and forth motion, afilu kolshuhu, afilu b'izem okshera. The knife could be any size, even a kolshuhu, even an izemo. Right? Those people who are molim, so the knife that they use is generally referred to as an izemel. It's not a terribly long knife, although there doesn't need to be a terribly long knife. But if you want to use the izemel for shechita, no mole would be happy to hand you over his knife for shechita, but if you take the knife and you use it for shechita, so then it would work. It would be fine, says the Mishnah. Okay.
The, do first the backward or the
I don't know if it matters. Right. I know. I don't know if it matters. I don't know if there is significance to which way you have to go first. Now, again, we're going to go back and discuss. The Minahan Emili over here, the Gemara wants to know, is that how do we know that you need to go in a back and forth motion? How do I know I can't chop? So we're going to quote the Pasuk I said earlier it was from Tehillim. I was wrong. It's from Yirmiyahu. Chetz shechut l'shonam mirma diber. Right? The arrow, now it's funny, you couldn't, in other words, if you're visualizing an arrow, you could view the arrow as just going straight in, but, you know, the arrow, of course, is sharp on the sides, and the assumption is that the arrow basically grazes its victim and basically makes a meshicha, right? A cut that's going in a side motion, not in a forward motion. Tana de Bay, Rabbi Yishmael v'shachad, ein v'shachad elo mashach. Now, the Gemara quotes the Tana de Bay, Rabbi Yishmael. He actually learns it from the word v'shachad itself. V'shachad, by its very definition, means moshech, to draw. Not to go in, not to chop, but to draw, to go in a side motion. V'chein omer, zahav shachut. The Pasuk says, zahav shachut. You have to be some sort of blacksmith, some sort of metalsmith to understand this. How the gold draws. Rashi writes, "Mashoch shuhu rach hamoshken oso ke'ein shosin sorfei nechoshes chutin shosin mehen machten." Right. What they're able to do is the gold is a very soft metal. They're able to, as the gold gets heated up, they're able to basically draw it out. Okay, I don't fully understand that, but that's fine. I'm sure if I were in the Smith business, I would understand it much better. The Amar, and there's another pasuk that also indicates that it has to be in a drawing motion. How do I know that? Because it says, the pasuk says, Chet Shechut L'Shana Mirma Diber. One more time, we go back to this pasuk, where this pasuk indicates that the act of Shechita, it says, the pasuk says the word Shechot, is like a Chet, it's like an arrow, and the arrow cuts on a slant motion, on a, not on a forward press, but on the side. So my Omer, why did this Bryce quote another pasuk? Because the hav shechut could just simply mean that it's twined, right? Gold is twined, right? You'll see sometimes in clothing, they take gold and they twine it into clothing. Maybe that's what the first pasuk is coming to refer to. Okay, tashma chet shechut. I'm sorry. So tashma chet shechut l'shanam diber. So the next pasuk clearly indicates that shechita has to be a meshicha. It has to be a back and forth motion, not a forward pressing motion. Rava, okay. Talk about some of the more exceptional feats mentioned in the Gemara. This one to me is exceptional. Rava v'abadik legirul of Rav Yonah bar Tachlifa. What Rava would do is he would do an examination on the arrow of Rav Yonah bar Tachlifa v'shacha ba'ufa b'hadid parach, and was able to shecht birds in flight. Okay? This is of Olympic status over here. So he sharpens the arrow, has it examined by his Rav, because we learned earlier in the Masechta, you need your knife examined by your Rav, and then he's able to shecht a bird while in flight. V'dilma avid chalada, the Gemara says, look, I understand that he's able with accuracy to cut the neck of the bird, that part I get. The Gemara says, but you're not worried about chalada, what we just talked about earlier this morning, that maybe what happened is that the arrow went into the neck of the bird and cut it while being concealed. And it's hard to gauge, right, while you're shooting, whether or not the arrow came from the outside in or the arrow went in and cut from within. The Dilma Avid Chalada, so the Gemara says, Chazinan Gidfei Dimiframe. So the Gemara here says, forensic evidence will indicate otherwise. It's not often in Halacha that we look at forensic evidence. This in and of itself is an interesting topic. But the Gemara says, here we could see forensically whether or not it was cut from the outside. What we'll do is we'll look at the feathers. And we'll see if the feathers are actually clipped. If the feathers on the neck are clipped, so then we know that it was shechted from the outside. Okay, v'habai kisui, and now the Gemara turns its attention to another halacha, which is not related to the act of shechita, but still the Gemara says, look, this is all rabbinically endorsed. Rava actually checked the arrow. There's a mitzvah of kisui hadam, you got to cover the blood. Right? Sixth perek of chulin, we spend an entire perek talking about the mitzvah of kisui hadam. The mitzvah of kisui hadam simply requires you, when you shecht either a bird or a chai or an undomesticated animal, so that you have to cover the blood. Okay, we'll talk more about that in the sixth parak of Chulin. But in the meantime, however, so you're shechting the bird. What about Kisui Adam? So, v'chitem d'machzilu. So the Gemara says, okay, so what's the big deal? Meaning he shechted through his arrow. Obviously, the bird fell to the ground. Wherever the blood had landed, so he went and he covered it. The Gemara says, but that's not enough. The Hama Rebbe Zera, Hama Rav, Shochit Tzorch, Sheiten Afalamata, V'afalamala. When you do the mitzvah of kisui adam, the halacha requires you to put dirt below, dirt above. It's got to be a sandwich, right? You'll forgive me, a blood sandwich, right? Dirt below, dirt above. That's the mitzvah of kisui adam. Shenemar v'chisahu bi'afar. The pasuk says that when you cover, you have to cover it bi'afar, in dirt. Afar lo nemar ela bi'afar malam yishashoch etzarech sheiten afar lamata v'afar lamala. So the Gemara's answer over here in terms of our archer Shochet, how did he do it and fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Adam? The Gemara answers very simply, Demazman Leilafra de Kula Petka. So the Gemara says very simply, in anticipation of not just only shechting the bird, but the blood that's going to come out, so he prepared the ground, laid out dirt on the ground. So, and from the Gemara it sounds like he laid out a lot of dirt. And now he shot to the bird. Bird fell to the ground. Blood landed on the dirt. Good. Then he put dirt on top of it. Fulfilled the mitzvah of Kisui Adam.
Outside of
Chaya requires kisui adam. Deer. I mean, how much? How many chaya do we shecht? I mean, venison, right? Venison comes from deer. Yeah, so that we would do kisui on, but the conventional stuff, the cows, the sheep, no kisui. Okay, haya shochet v'hitez amar Rabbi Zera malot savar v'chutz l'savar. Okay, Rabbi Zera says, how long does the knife have to be? Now again, let's remind ourselves. Knife's got to be long enough where if I'm only going in one direction, I want to be able to cut both simanim without having to go press in. So it's got to be long enough. So Rabbi Zera says, malot savar v'chutz l'savar. So once again, if we look at my cup, but here we're going to look, first of all, I'm not turning it over now. If we look at my cup and we look at the circumference of the cup, but here the circumference is going to be the entire neck of the animal. So the knife has got to be, so basically now what we're going to do is we're going to take the diameter and then we're going to add to that. Now if I'm going to read Rabbi Zera again, let's read it carefully. Malot tzavar, v'chutz tzavar. So it's got to be the entire diameter of the neck and more. Chutz tzavar. It's got to be outside the neck as well. So a diameter plus. Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Plus what? Right? What's the plus over here? So, Ibayaluhu, Malot Savar, Chutz Savar, Kamalot Savar, Dehavalu Treit Savare. Is it have to be a neck plus another neck? Right? So, in other words, whatever your diameter is, it's two times your diameter. Is that the Pshat of Rabbi Zera? Odimu, Malot Savar, Chutz Savar, Mashehu. Or does it just simply have to be neck, diameter of the neck, plus a little bit more than that? Now, if you think about it, you realize the first one makes a lot more sense. Because the whole idea over here is that in going only in one direction, look, if you want to go in both directions, back and forth, so the Mishnah says, you don't have to worry. In other words, the knife could be at any length. Okay. Later on, we'll test the limits of how small the knife could be. But for now, we'll just simply say the knife could be of any length. If, however, you're only going to go in one direction, the whole idea is, I want to be able to cut the simanim without having to press in. So meaning, while going and either drawing the knife towards you or against you, you want to be able to go in. It makes a lot more sense that the knife should be two times the diameter. So Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's see. Hayeshochi v'hitishne rashim v'asachas imesh l'sakim l'otzavar echad kasher. Look, let's look back at our Mishnah. The Mishnah gave a funny case. The Mishnah's case was, you're shechting two animals, double header, and the Mishnah says the knife has to be the diameter of one animal. That's what the Mishnah says. What does that mean? My malot savar echad. When the Mishnah says the diameter of one animal, you can't possibly understand the Mishnah at its face value. Ile ma malot savar echad v'sulo hashab behema achad bina malot savar v'chutz savar v'shtei mehema sagilu kamalot savar echad. Look, if I'm shechting one animal, we've already established it's got to be more than a neck, more than one diameter. So if I'm shechting two animals, you would possibly suggest that one diameter would be enough? Clearly that's implausible. That's just untenable. So the Gemara says what that means is, in addition to the knife being the length of the two animals and I'm cutting, it's got to be on top of that, one more neck length, one more diameter of a neck length. Oh, okay, fine. So if I'm shechting two, the knife's got to be three necks long. Again, the idea is because I'm going to go in one direction and I want the knife to penetrate all the way and get both simanim while going in one direction. Shma mina melot savar chutz savar shma mina. So you see, it's one plus one. In the case of two animals, it only has to be two plus one, but remember, when I'm shechting the two animals, right, each animal is going to be receiving two diameters of knife. Right. It'd be better if I had a visual over here. If I'm shechting one animal, so that one animal, if I'm going only in one direction, has to be the diameter of the neck plus one more diameter. Okay. Gemara is very conclusive. So, how long does a knife have to be? So, it's not a clear-cut answer, but the answer is two diameters, two neck diameters, but that's only if I'm going in one direction. Okay, we move on to the next part of the Gemara. What if I'm going to go in both directions? Now, we talked about using an ezemel. Rashi describes back in the good old days, they used to make their knives really fancy, right? Artistic. Their knives used to have, at the end of the blade, right, each end, they used to have some sort of ornamentation. And the Gemara says, if you're shechting with a small Izemel knife, you got to make sure that the ends don't have any type of ornamentation, for the very simple reason that it could you could trafe up the animal. Amalei Rav Acha Bar de Rav Avi Rav Menasha Machta Mai. How about shechting with a needle? Meaning, we're going to go into back and forth motion. So the Gemara says, Amalei Machta Mivza Baze. No, that's no good, because even though a needle's sharp, but when you're cutting with a needle, you're not really cutting. You're basically going to be tearing at the simanim, and as we've discussed time and again, tearing is no good.
It's
piercing. Right. It's more of a piercing action. Machta de ushkafe mai. What if I use a needle that's used by a tanner? A tanner, the one who's working with the hide, so he has a needle. It is a thicker needle, so it has a little more to it. So I'm a leitanina, afilu kol shehu. So, why don't we look back at our Mishnah? The Mishnah says the knife could be any amount. The Mishnah's language is kol shehu. So, my love machta du shkafen. Gemara says lo izemel. No, the Mishnah's talking about an izemel. Gemara says, no, the Mishnah can't be talking about izemel. Izemel be'ed shekatani lo, because if you go back to the Mishnah and you read the Mishnah, I'm going to do that right now. Afilu kol shehu, afilu be'izemel. Sounds like izemel is another scenario in the Mishnah. Gemara says, no, Purusha come mefaresh. No, that's not how to read the Mishnah. The izemo is actually the definition of a kol shehu. My kol shehu izemo. Gemara says, if you really think that the Mishnah was talking about a needle and allowing you to shech with a needle, so the Gemara says, look, the Mishnah, right, we make this point all the time. It's important to realize. The Mishnah's chief objective is to give us the biggest chiddush. The biggest chiddush. Wouldn't the Mishnah want to say use a needle? And if I could use a needle, I could for sure use an izemel, right? Why doesn't the Mishnah go in that direction? Why doesn't the Mishnah attack it from that end? So the Gemara says, so you see clearly that the needle's no good. The Gemara says, you're right, but over here, we could provide an argument why the Mishnah specifically has to say the word izemel. Izemel itzrichle. Sakadat chamin aligzer izemel shen lo karnayim matu izemel shesh lo karnayim kamash malan. Because by the izemel, it was very common back then to have them ornamented on the edges. I might have thought that as a blanket rule, the Chachamim said, you know what, don't use an izemel. Meaning, even if your izemel happens to have nothing on the ends of the blade, but don't use an izemel. You could have heard such an argument. The Mishnah wants to make it clear that no, we don't make such, no such gezeira is made. Okay. All right, good. We start the next sugya of the Gemara, right? Totally new sugya, big sugya coming up. And we touched on it before, and that's the idea of what kind of kavanah do you need when you shecht? Okay? Now, we're talking not about carbon. Carbon, as we've discussed time and again, carbon needs a lot of kavanah. Right, the first day that we learned Zvachim together, we learned that kavanah is important. You need lishma. And on certain karbanos, if you don't have lishma, the karban's no good. Right? Chatos and psachim. Right? If you don't have lishma, the karban's no good. Most of the time by karban, if you don't have lishma, so the karban's fine, but the owner doesn't get credit. Okay, but certainly in the world of karban, you need kavanah. What kind of kavanah do you need when it comes to shechting chulin? Right? Not karban. So nafla sakin v'shachta afa pi sheshachta kedarka psul shenema v'zavachta v'achalta mashata zavech ata ochal. You're on the top of a building, and you're playing with a knife on the top of a building. Not recommended. Knife falls from your hand, and gravity now does its job, and the knife now falls, and while falling, it successfully shechs an animal or a bird. So the Gemara says that's not, the Mishnah says that's no good. Why? The Mishnah quotes a pasuk. V'zavachta v'achalta. Ma she'ata zaveach, ata ochel. That which you shecht, you eat. Okay. Now what does that mean? Does that mean you need kavana? Not so fast. The Gemara, correct. The issue is much more, you didn't do anything. Gemara says, "Time and enough lahai pila huksheira." Look, if you read the Mishnah and read it carefully, the Mishnah's chief objection is that you didn't throw the knife down; the knife just kind of fell out of your hand. So, in other words, you inserted no koach gavra. You need human assistance in terms of the act of shechita. Look, we talked earlier this morning about an arrow. Now, when the arrow makes contact with that bird, clearly you're not holding the arrow in your hand. But the force that's generated is the force of a man. So here in our Mishnah, that's basically the problem. The problem is that the force that's generated is not from you. In other words, you just let it go. So, Afag Abdullah Mechavein. Now, if you want to, let's go even one step further in the Mishnah. Now, if we're right, meaning if you throw the knife down, that would be good. And now we're going to say it even. We're going to say even a bigger chiddush, and that is if you throw the knife down for no other reason than just simply because you want to throw the knife down. Now, I don't recommend that as well. You're on the top of a building and you throw a knife down, somebody can get hurt. Okay, but that's not the point. The point is, I mean, it's important, but the point is that throwing the knife down is enough. You don't need to have any kavanah whatsoever that you're going to shech. Man tani de lo bein in kavanah l'shchita amarav Rabbi Nasan hi. So this is something that we discussed a couple weeks ago in Chulin. We're discussing it now again. This is Rabbi Nassim's opinion. If I throw a knife against a wall, and my only objective is to throw the knife against the wall, and while in air it meets a bird or an animal and it shechts, that's fine. Rabbi Nassim says it's fine. Rabbi Nassim Machshir, the Chachamim poslim, and the Chachamim says it's no good. So fine, so it's a machlokas over here whether you need kavana. So who tanilav hu amalah halachik Rabbi Nassim. And whenever he says over this brisa, he makes sure to end off by saying, and we follow the halacha like Rabbi Nassim, you don't need kavana. V'ham Rava chadazimna denan. So the Gemara says, this is all generated by Rava, this entire halacha. The Gemara says, Rava said it. We talked about this earlier, did not? We learned in the Mishnah. V'kulon sheshachti v'chen rona san shechitas and kshera. Remember, we talked about how a cheresh arti v'katan shechs. And as long as there is supervision to make sure that the actual act of shechita was done correctly, the shechita is good. Now, clearly, the child, the cheresh, the shota, they don't have kavana, and it works. So v'armina man tana d'lo bai kavana l'shechita v'amar Rava Rabbi Nasani. And then we said, who's the author of that Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Masechta? And we said that the author of that Mishnah is Rabbi Nassim. So, we have Rabbi Nassim, day one of Chulin, right? Page 2, day 1. And we have Rabbi Nassim, day 31, right? Daf Lamed Aleph. Not exactly day 31, but you understand, right? And so the Gemara says, Why do we need to repeat the point? Gemara says because you could make the distinctions between the two cases. In the case on Chul and Daf Beis, there is intent to cut, not to shecht, but at least to cut something. Meaning, archerish arshot v'katan. They don't have kavana, but at least they're trying to cut something. In our case over here, you're throwing the knife down, you're throwing it against the wall, you didn't even have intent to cut anything. Okay, so you might have thought that over here it's even less. And over here there's an advantage that you don't have earlier. Because over here at least the knife is being thrown by a ben das. It's true he's not intending to cut anything, but he's throwing down the knife. Earlier, on Daf Beis, the cutter is not a bendas. It's a cherish, it's a shotev, it's a cotton. It's not a bendas. So even though there is intent to cut, but there's intent to cut by a person who doesn't have intent. So each case is really teaching us a different chiddush. In other words, there needs to be koach gavra, even though the force is coming, being generated by someone who doesn't have das. And our case is over here is that there has to be koach gavra, even though there's no intent to cut. In either way, the shechita would be a valid shechita. Good. Itmar. Okay. And we're now going to go off the board. We'll start today the sugya of Nida. We'll see how far we can get right now. And we will come back and we will discuss more of this tomorrow. Nida shenen savitavla. Okay. A woman's a nida in order for her to be tahor, tahara, she needs to go into the mikvah. Let's say she's thrown into a mikvah. Okay, not a pleasant thought. But let's say, against her will, she's thrown into the mikvah. So I'm Rav Yehuda Marav Tahor Labeis of Asur La'echel B'Tshuma. So Rav Yehuda Marav says, okay, so as far as having relations with her husband, she's allowed. But as far as eating Tshuma, she's not allowed. Okay, you understand that distinction? Not yet. Give me a moment. Rav Yochanan Amar Af Labeis Lo Tahara. Rav Yochanan says, no, it doesn't work at all. Meaning she did not willingly go into the mikvah, so therefore she's not Tahara. So Amalei Rav Le Rav Nachman. So Rava now is thinking about this machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, you know, I'm struggling with Rav. I really don't understand Rav. Le Rav Damar Torah LeBeis Avesu Lechol B'Tshuma Avon Karis Hutra Iser Misa Mi Baye. Think about it. The Rav's conclusion is a very strange conclusion. A woman who's a nida who has relations with her husband, that's an Iser Karis. Right, that's an erva. Somebody who's tameh who eats truma, misa bidei shamayim. Okay, now, if we're gonna take out our scale and put kares on one side of the scale, misa bidei shamayim on the other side of the scale, so kares is more chamor. Rashi over here points out, right? It is Tosfos on the first page of Yevamos that discusses at length. Rashi over here does not discuss it at length because that's Rashi's job. Rashi is very brief. Rashi says karis is more chamor because karis means that you will have a curtailed life and your children also will die off. Right? Rashi quotes the pasuk, aririm yihu, you will be without children. So that's karis. Misa b'dei shamayim only affects you, does not affect your children. Both of them are not corporal.
Your children that are born or unborn?
No, the ones that are, presumably the ones that are already here.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I mean, that's the way it seems from Rashi. But the point is that neither of them are corporal punishment. Both of them come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one affects you and your children, and and Misa B'dei Shamayim only affects you. So, now when you put Karis and Misa B'dei Shamayim side by side, obviously Karis is more Chamor. So now think about it, right? The question is a powerful question. I don't understand Rav. Rav says that this woman's forced into the mikvah. She can have relations with her husband, but that's an Isser Kares if she's an Ida. But meanwhile, she can't eat Truma. But not eating Truma, that's only Misa B'dei Shamayim. How can you allow her to do the more Chamer act and not allow her to eat the Truma? Right? Very, very powerful question. So, but the answer, however, is fundamental. It's profound. The answer is Amar Lei. Bala Chulin Hu. V'chulin Lo Bai Kavana. So the Gemara says, no, but there's a big difference. Because her husband is chulin. Now, that doesn't mean profane. It just simply means it's not eating kodesh, right? In other words, I'm just saying it in terms of contrast. For a mundane act, for a non-kodesh act, like having relations with her husband, so there you don't need kavana. In other words, her tefillah in the mikvah is fine, even though she had no intent to go into the mikvah. But to eat truma, you have to go into the mikvah with kavana, with intent that I'm going into mikvah to eat truma. Right? You learn your Mishnayot in Chagiga, so you will see time and again that for the consumption of truma, for the consumption of kodesh, you need to have kavana when you go into the mikvah. U'minatemra. And how do I know that this is so? And so what the Gemara will now do, we'll start this tomorrow, is the Gemara will explore this concept, this idea, that for chulin, you don't need kavana, meaning you just simply go into the mikvah. Even if you don't go with intent, you just simply go into the mikvah, and that would be enough. Meanwhile, when it comes to kodesh, so you need intent when you go into the mikvah. So we're going to explore more of this tomorrow, and it's a very, very interesting discussion that we're coming off of. Okay? Just quickly summarize the basic points that we saw today. We talked today about hachlada, covering the knife. We talked about the miut basra, right? That last little bit of simanim that you need to shecht. Rashi is machmir, and Rashi says that we are always going to be machmir for that miut basra, and you can't even be absorbed by the miut basra. We talked about back and forth motion as opposed to a forward motion. This is what's called hadrasa. We talked about the length of the knife. We talked about the use of a needle as opposed to a knife. And we ended this morning's discussion with koach gavra, the force of man, and the requirement of kavana. Okay, which we'll continue tomorrow.